we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Saranam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Karmini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By my compassionate comprehension that dissipates illusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all attentions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. appear to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I'll get us started. I've got a bunch of stuff coming up that I think will be good to just kind of look at and get out there a little bit. And it's basically that I feel like I'm moving into a new place in practice in a way. I don't know if it's true, but it feels like it in a way, which is more of an openness to receiving what's available or the feedback that comes in. Mm-hmm. And also kind of simultaneously with that, feeling really, really kind of insecure, or at least, let me rephrase that. So there's an openness to be more vulnerable and to kind of receive the guidance and to open to kind of what's possible in terms of, you know, we had a conversation about communication the other night. And so basically just looking at like more open to all the areas where there's a lot of unconsciousness that I was perhaps in a huge denial of before. And at the same time, as I open to that, I am realizing or recognizing that conditioning is on a huge campaign, obviously, but it feels very real inside it. But for the one who is practicing to kind of tell him that he's such a failure, and you know, how could he be so unconscious, and you know, it's like every direction that the one who's practicing turns. I want to use I, but it feels like something's being mirrored of, God, you're such a failure. See, you do that. You know, I can't believe you're. And so
we could have figured out what happened, huh?
Well, it's easy to say, kind of a little bit removed from it, but inside of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's designed to seem real.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's one of those, the old, with every action, there's an equal and opposite.
Yeah.
Although, maybe not quite equal.
Yeah.
Because my sense is that the movement towards, you know, opening and the transformation that comes from that is a lot more powerful, actually.
Yeah.
The reaction coming from conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the trouble is that a part of the conditioning is to believe the reality of that. And that's what's been probably keeping, to whatever extent conditioning has been able to keep you small,
mm-hmm.
has been a piece of how it's done that all along.
Yeah.
So it's makes sense that it would be doing that, and also makes sense that there would tend to be a believability around it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a really nice way to look at it. You know, it's a tricky place in some ways, in the sense that there's a part of me who's so feels so real, Because I think it is real, and that is that place that so desperately wants to be open and vulnerable and to participate and to, you know, just to grow up, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to clearly communicate, mm-hmm. to be able to feel good about myself, mm-hmm. waking up in the morning, mm-hmm. to feel like I'm part of a community and an equal contribution, and, you know, all these things that, like, wanting to really be a part of life.
Can I ask you about that?
Yeah, sure.
Does that require any conversation?
Does that require any conversation? You know, I haven't looked at that. I haven't looked at that.
The reason I ask is because the other one is full of conversation.
Yes.
And yeah. if it were the case that, you know, that... You know, if that is just a natural movement into life, mm-hmm. I wonder if it does require any conversation. If you found out that it didn't, that would be really handy, because it would make it really clear what's what. Mm-hmm. If there's a conversation going on, it's conditioning. If there's not a conversation going on, it's not. And so you wouldn't have to be in a position where you had to figure out right. the two.
Yeah.
You could just respond with what's natural.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's certainly, now that you've brought it up, it's certainly somewhere where, you know, I'll bring attention to. Because, yeah, it does feel like, you know, there has been some aware, like, the awareness is there that when there is conversation, it's often a kind of quote-unquote negative conversation. And it is right around what you're saying, kind of that figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the big piece, there's I've noticed some big, like, pieces with it that I haven't gotten super identified with, but I know that I can see them manifesting over it. One is the kind of need to know, and there's a conversation around that. You know, you need to know how to do this. Another one is kind of, there's a right way to know how to do this, and that gets going. And then the other one is, you don't get it, and you need to get it in order to feel the way you want to feel or whatever. And all of those, for sure, are conversations, and they're steeped with self-hate and criticism and judgment and comparison, and, you know, all the stuff that we talk about is, you know, being in competition with others, comparing better than less than, all of that's kind of one package.
Yeah, that's a helpful way of looking at it, seems like. It's really all one thing. Mm-hmm. The particulars of it, but it's not really very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is its angle that it's working right now?
Yeah.
But this kind of goes back, I think, to the practice principle conversation we've been having the last couple of groups about, you know, what is a practice principle? It seems like that starts to head in that direction. You know, if we're involved in the level of what's real, what's not real about these conversations, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But if we recognize that, the principle here is that all of these are conversations. Mm-hmm. So then that frees us up from having to pay attention to any of them.
So what that brings me to is the place of, you know, so the one thing I've been practicing with is just turning to silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like there's another piece of it, because, so there's the conversations which, you know, as you're pointing out, on a bigger kind of level, it doesn't matter what they're about, whether it's, you know, this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, there is... Or I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I want to ask the question around, so when it is clear that there is unconsciousness, or there's kind of unskillfulness, or, you know, there are areas where it's clear that I'm acting out of, you know, conditioning, lots and lots, and that's what's getting revealed, like, mm-hmm. way more than, you know, is comfortable. So is there a way to kind of how to work with that without being in a conversation about it?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at too, as you're talking. That last part about what, without being in a conversation about it.
Uh-huh.
Or here's another way of saying that is, without being a somebody.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's what conditioning is trying to do all the time, isn't it? Is there's a, you know, some kind of a question, you know, a dualistic question, you know, like the figuring it out thing. Is it this or is it this?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the end of it. There's those two, and then there's my relationship with that.
Yes, exactly.
And those three pieces, you know, as long as those three pieces are placed in where set.
The system's there.
It's airtight.
Yeah.
And so what I hear you questioning is there a way to be aware of what's happening without creating that third piece, mm-hmm. That being as somebody who's having a relationship with it, trying to sort it all out or whatever might be going on?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the place that's the movement it feels like when I started, when I said I feel like I'm kind of in a new place in practice or whatever. It feels like that's the movement that, there's uncertainty on, or like I don't really know.
Well, there's that, and I think you mentioned a little while ago, insecurity, was it?
Yeah, lots of insecurity.
And also, I heard you say, openness. Mm-hmm. Openness to input, communicating, because that's in that place too, isn't it?
The communicating.
Yeah, and the openness. Openness to information, things that are offered to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's what I've been practicing with that is it possible to receive it from a place of, I often hear in practice that place of compassion, or that it's actually all for the benefit for each one of us. Mm-hmm. It's all designed for each one of us. So mm-hmm. in this case, it's all for me,
mm-hmm.
but it's being received by that trifecta that we're talking about. Which,
well, sometimes it is.
Yeah, sometimes.
And the movement is that it's not.
So the movement the movement that's potentially being made is to have it be that place of openness that isn't receiving it from kind of the shutdown, the insecure, the conversation.
That's what I'm projecting on what you're saying. Does that seem so?
Yeah, it does seem so. And the piece of it too that you mentioned there at the end is that the real desire to want to communicate and not exactly knowing how the best way to communicate, or how to communicate it, how to look at it, how to speak about it, how to reach out for guidance and support with it, without it coming from that, that place,
mm-hmm.
Coming from the open, not being afraid, because within that stuck place, there's a real resistance to speaking about it from a place of sincerity or a place of like what's really going on.
Yeah, well, from that place, it's impossible to really communicate.
There's no way. There's just no way. And then it just remains stuck. And then, the one who, or the heart, or however, which really does want that freedom from that kind of very oppressive system, that gets suppressed, it gets suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just looking, I'm just exploring, what would that be like? What would that look like? How to do that?
Yeah. Well, I wonder, if you just sort of look at it logically, it's not up to you. If it doesn't work, you know very well it doesn't work to be a me doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's, once that's clear, really the only other alternative is to turn it over to something that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And just trust that it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Right? Which I think is the whole thing you're circling around.
I think so.
Yeah. And I know you know that experience of, like even something like receiving input. Mm-hmm. The tendency, of course, is going to be, oh, and then think about that. Put in some boxes, figure it out. Yeah, or that. But that doesn't really go anywhere, does it?
No, it's not. Yeah, it actually just maintains the kind of thing we're pointing at.
It's a form of resistance, even.
It totally is, yeah.
So, and this gets us kind of that place where it's so hard to talk about, because conditioning, it's not within the realm of conditioning, but, and I know you know this experience, there is that other place where it comes in and then we can watch while life sort of puts things together.
Mm-hmm.
Even life can communicate,
mm-hmm.
I just had one of those yesterday, actually, where it just, whoop, there it is, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's no need for a conversation about it, there's no need to question it.
Yeah.
There's no need to have any relationship with it at all, it's just obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even really a me responding to that, it's just a response that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it the felt sense is really different from, being a separate entity, worrying about it, stressing about it, trying to figure it out, trying to figure out what the right thing is, all that. There's a felt sense that's different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of what you're looking for.
I think so, yeah. I think it definitely is. And to bring it into the, it's that subtle dance, it feels like, where you know, I want to expose all the areas in which these behaviors are going on, or the lack of communications, or, you know, things that have kind of like developed behind the scenes in a way. You know, nothing horrible or bad, or, you know, it's not, but that's the way it kind of begins to creep, is so a way to just move into that place of, yeah, looking at it without being somebody who, you know, exposing it or working with it or being with it, without being somebody who is doing that.
Yeah, letting the moment act.
Yeah.
Yeah, letting the moment speak.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the last piece that I'll say on this, that there was really, and this is guidance that has been coming in for a while, as a Sangha, is like that place of, well, for starters, you know, not taking things personally, and then the next step of like not feeling bad about what it, wherever, you know, there's a, I have like a karmic tendency to always feel like that, well, this probably is true for everybody, actually, always going to that, maybe it's not true for everybody, but that default of like, I did something wrong, you know.
That's just another form of that same conversation.
Exactly, yeah, and so that's such a tricky, you know, I think some people perhaps project that outwards, like, you know, that person wronged me. My default for me is always like, oh, I'm in the wrong here. And so seeing that is like, I feel like there's been a lot of success, a lot of movement around that to kind of begin to say, okay, well, that's none of what the conversation we're having this morning can really happen so long as that's in place. And so the first step is kind of getting to a point of, look, just that's got to go.
Yeah, and now what I hear is happening now is you're applying that same work to these other conversations.
But they've got to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how to do it. You know how to end a conversation like that. It's just a matter, sounds like a matter of getting really clear what it is, and then having that commitment. You know, this has got to end. Because what you know how to do that. You know how to direct your attention, you know, with the understanding of what it actually is, and the intention to do what is obvious, that obviously needs to be done, you know, like turning attention to silence, whatever it is, then it can be done. Before that, it's tricky.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Ashwini.
So, that conversation is related a little bit to what I was looking at, and what I've been looking at is acceptance.
Acceptance,
And from the perspective of, well, it starts out with the perspective of what is unacceptable, what I project is unacceptable, or what I find unacceptable out there, is actually what's unacceptable in here.
Right, of course, yeah.
Right, that, so in other words, it's a reflection. If if there is no self and other, then the only mirror that is keeping something out of life is this one. Right, that the separation of acceptable and unacceptable is happening here as a process.
And is it one of those where, so it's all happening in here, some things like acceptable things, you get to hang on to acceptable things and then put the unacceptable out there with the idea that this, you know, these are me, those are not me.
Right, but the process that is keeping something out of life
is
this process. Right. So, and so it's easy when it's truly unacceptable. That sometimes it's difficult to change the pronouns and the subject, object, and everything to really understand what is it that is not, what is it that's unacceptable. Because it's easy to see something like hypocrisy or bigotry or intolerance or unconsciousness. Then it feels like it's justifiably unacceptable.
And is it?
Well, it what I was looking at is any process that divides acceptable and unacceptable is the problem.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right, it doesn't matter whether the content is justifiable or not. So long as the process is operating, there's always the separation.
Yeah, another way of saying that, I think, tell me if I'm right, is in a way you can say there's no such thing as acceptable, unacceptable. That's just a dualism that's used in order to keep this process of separation going.
Right, so it seems like the content, we become involved, it's the Sherry's latest blog, that the content, solving the content issue becomes the focus without understanding that the process mm-hmm. of acceptance implies that nothing in life, everything in life is acceptable. Mm-hmm. So acceptance has to be the ground from which you have to start.
Right.
And that place that I think we were referring to is that acceptance is being with whatever is going on
mm-hmm.
in from a place of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Because my version of it is sadly recognizing that compassion is not my default orientation.
Mm-hmm.
I do a practice of compassion. So to really be given feedback like that, however I receive it, is just interesting. And then the feeling bad gets translated into, I want to be a person who's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the realization that which wants to be compassionate has created the duality between compassion and non-compassion.
Yeah.
And so really, that which wants to be compassionate is still an ego process.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? It's that, we're just referring to that a minute ago, it's a very subtle form of resistance.
Yes.
It looks like non-resistance,
uh-huh.
but it is, because it... You know, being an I is resisting what's happening, and that's essentially what it's doing.
Right, so I'm not compassionate has already gone into non-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, yes.
Right, right. I love that. It just sucks it into the, just jumps back one layer and just sucks it into the same process.
Exactly. So I was reading, I think it was a quote from Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, where he said that the practice of awareness is the process of identifying all of the attributes of the mind and accepting it in order to disidentify from it.
Huh. Wow.
And what I was looking at is, what are all those mental attributes, right? So fear of exposure, feeling victimized, a sense of personality, a sense of identity,
mm-hmm.
a sense of victimhood,
mm-hmm.
A sense of hatefulness, judgment,
mm-hmm.
always looking at differentiation. All those things that, when we truly mean don't take it personally,
mm-hmm.
all of those things that we hate, within quotes, about unconsciousness, including hating unconsciousness, is actually a mental process.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it seems significant that in what he said, he didn't say anything about changing it.
No, that's the acceptance, right?
That's the acceptance.
Real radical acceptance mm-hmm. that all of the processes that I thought were me, including me,
uh-huh.
is the conditioned process.
Right.
And so awareness is the mastery over the mental process. But the first step in that is really accepting all of it as a mental process.
Yeah. It's almost like, tell me if this is your experience too. It's like that acceptance you're talking about, it's like non-relationship with, in the sense that, you know, it seems like, so you, to recognize all of that, you know, it's all that mental process, in a way, any relationship with that is going to be a form of non-acceptance. You know, it's any like attempt to change it or make it different or, but what I hear you talking about is something that's not that, it's an acceptance that is larger than that, or you might even say it's like of a different kind.
Yeah, what dropped in when you said that, Justin, is truly, for the first time, I really, that click of what is awareness? Awareness is the acceptance of a mental process.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing
mm-hmm.
is how you see that process operate without having a relationship with it.
Without having a relationship with it.
Right?
Yeah, to go back to the previous conversation, yeah. without being an I who is doing something about it or trying
that's
to.
That's right, because mm-hmm. that is again a mental process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fascinating. I think we were talking about in an equanimity workshop that awareness practice is simply the practice of isness.
Isness. Mm-hmm.
And right. isness includes the process that creates people and emotions and sensations and interpretations of those and mm-hmm. differences and judgment and longing to be different,
yeah.
wanting it to be different, all of that. And so it was just such a tremendous realization that that being aware is the transformation.
Mm-hmm. It's not trying to be something different.
That's right. Or feeling bad about it, or longing for it to change, or anything else. Because the moment you go beyond awareness, you're in duality in the mental process.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like such an important point you made a moment ago, that it's all of it is a part. I can't remember how you're talking about it, but all of it, well, isness. All of it is a part of the isness, including all of the mental, emotional processes that create me.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's a really powerful and common form of pseudo-Zen, that what practice is trying to do is get rid of me.
Yeah.
But which is a dualistic process.
Yeah.
But you're talking about taking a further step back from that, a full acceptance of me and all the processes that are going on, that happen to create a me, without being a me in relationship with it.
Right.
And that's what awareness actually
that's
is.
That's right. So the awareness that the process exists to create and maintain all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And here are all the elements and attributes of that process.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really help in the disidentification, because that's what not taking it personally is. I mean, because that process wants to defend itself, wants to be contrary, does not want input, doesn't want to be exposed, doesn't want to be vulnerable, is defensive, is angry, all of it is majorly a process of that which is not.
Right.
Yeah. Right? It doesn't matter how you interpret that, but its baseline code is, if you say X, it's going to say Y.
Right. And the understanding of that, I think, one of the points you're making is, not the understanding, we might say the awareness of that is the door towards disidentification.
Yes, I hadn't seen this piece, but what you said actually made me see it, which is, it is the awareness of the process that is the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That is acceptance, truly.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's an awareness that knows that process and contains it,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as there's the awareness of it, there is an acceptance of it, and then we're not it anymore.
Yeah, and that's an actual disidentification, rather than a pseudo-disidentification, which is, I'm not that, but I'm this in relationship to that.
That's right. And coming back to the original feedback and the way I've been practicing with it is, it's so interesting, because part of what we experience in practice is, you cannot project that which you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I think it's something is beautiful, then
it's got to be in here.
It has to be in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's also true, because we identify with mental processes, that what is being projected is the mental process. And if you are identified with that, that's what makes you feel bad. So if I project unconsciousness, the tendency is to accept that I'm unconscious. That's the self-hating process.
Yeah. That's how self-hating
is. I'm bad because I'm unconscious.
Uh-huh.
But that level of acceptance allows for the split in, I don't have to own the mental process,
mm-hmm.
but awareness can contain the attributes of it as much as it can contain the attributes of compassion. So how do I know that I'm not compassionate unless I contain both of those things?
You have to.
Right? I have to.
Mm-hmm. You can't project your own unconsciousness or your own consciousness without having both.
Having both, because there is the awareness, which is compassion, and the mental process, which is not compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the experience of both. Which am I in?
Mm-hmm.
Or where's the attention, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And the image that dropped in for me is, it's like we're a giant panel of switches, right? That they're either on or they're off.
Okay.
And so all of the life processes are inherent here, and my default setting is either on life or on the opposite of it.
Uh-huh.
So part of what my practice is has to be to act compassion so that the switch remains on the on setting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mental process is going to come and turn off all the switches.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And so that practice is really has to be an active process of activating the life process.
Right. Along with that awareness, huh? Because it's it's like I'm thinking about I like that default setting. I'm thinking about in a computer.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's these default settings. And you have to go somewhere to find them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when you find them, there's this whole thing. Oh, I see. There's all these choices. Well, like in a phone.
Uh-huh.
There's all these choices. If you don't know where that is,
yeah.
then you don't know that there's any choices there.
Right.
And I think that's the awareness you're talking about.
Right.
So you're aware there's all these switches and all these choices. You're aware of the mental processes that tend to turn the switches all off.
Uh-huh.
And with that, what I think I hear you saying is basically a behavior change. It's not a mental, it's less mental than a behavior change. You're acting from this place of compassion in order to keep those switches going.
Right. And the interesting part that I see when you say that is, the awareness of the lack of compassion activates the switch.
Yeah, that is a compassionate awareness.
Right. If the acceptance of the lack of compassion brings the attention to compassion,
mm-hmm.
and activates the switch.
You become compassion, or you are compassion in that awareness.
And the process is the outcome, because mm-hmm. the moment I go to I don't have compassion, I've just activated the other switch.
Yeah, I don't have compassion, and that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that turns off the switch.
That turns off the switch. And so it's just so subtle that the way in which the awareness of it is framed, if it's not taken by the mental process, I have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But if I allow the attention to go to that mental process, then I've just seeded the switch.
Yeah, it's like the old, like in the daily recollection, the practice of pure attention.
Yeah.
It really has to be pure.
Yes.
It can't be contaminated by a mental process. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it has to be pure. The pure attention is the disidentification.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's impure, then we get stuck in all these other places. They might not be the same one we're looking at, but they're the same kind. They're still mental processes that are creating separation and identity.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it's at that level of language almost, or of attention, that the bit can be flipped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the notion of acceptance at the level of nothing can be unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, including lack, in the sense of admitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that moment you moved over to the very mental process that maintains it.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of it's yours, is
not,
it?
None of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. See, I'll get next.
So much. It feels right along the lines of what I've been looking at. I've talked, I think, in a couple of recent groups about noticing the processes that are happening. Like one I've been talking about is irritation, and that edge of being. Feels like just the identified side of, I don't want to disidentify from this.
Just the identified side of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I really sound, it feels, it's one of those, am I just projecting on what everyone's saying, or are we all saying the same thing at the same time? But I just really have been seeing how I was reminded again recently of how, there's so many things all at once.
Only one mouth.
I know, exactly, really. It's like, yeah. I've been learning a little bit more about quantum physics.
Okay.
And so some of those images are coming up, but just that thing of how motion and how something will stay in motion, forgive my clumsiness, in a straight line at the same speed if it's not interrupted.
Unless it's influenced by some other force.
Yes. Mm-hmm. and so... What it feels like is that egocentric karma conditioning self-hate is constantly inserting itself to put force on the just life, mm-hmm. to attempt to do that.
Okay, so life, given no other forces, life is just going to head in the same direction.
And it seems to head in, the word that, at least in my experience, I would put to it are compassion and love and acceptance, mm-hmm.
and happiness
and it's, in a way, it's funny to put those words on it because you don't need to, but that is when we look around.
We had to describe
in our human filter. That does seem to be what goes on,
mm-hmm.
and we overlay, or not we, but ego overlays this thing onto it, and that in order to do that, how do you even say it? What's the smallest measure of time? Moment by moment by moment, second, millisecond by millisecond, has to keep. Creating that,
mm-hmm.
so that, like irritation, for example, happens in a it's like often the image of a movie. So we watch a movie and it just feels like it's unbroken movement. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just we're watching the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's actually this second by second frames that are not at all moving, mm-hmm. and they're not real. Mm-hmm. And so ego is creating that, quote, irritation in that same way. And the only way it can do that is that I'm not paying close enough attention to see that that's the way it's being created.
And it's doing it, as you're saying, moment by moment.
Right.
It's a mental process, but it has to, because it doesn't exist, it has to recreate itself over and over and over again, so it seems like a continual, solid, real thing through time.
Yeah, but that's hugely to our advantage, to my advantage, because what that means is, as the attention comes into the present moment, any moment, the irritation is completely gone. Mm-hmm. Because if the attention doesn't go back to recreating it, mm-hmm. it doesn't carry through time.
Yeah, it's like I'm playing the projector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's the end of that.
That's the end of that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, condition keeps coming in and plugging
it back in. And there's, at least I notice that I help it.
Right.
Why? Because the habit is it still there? Uh-huh. It's still there. And that brings it back to life. So I participate, uh-huh. in a way, with that, which is even interesting.
That's an interesting thing in itself, like that I, what is that?
Right, and is that really, mm-hmm. right. But I just was seeing, well, no wonder then there's such resistance to, what I've been talking about, but I want to. I don't want to not be irritated. Well, of course, so... Because that's how ego keeps itself alive. Mm-hmm. And that in that, really, really getting it, that, that notion in Buddhism of you can't find the I. The I is not anywhere. We can't find the self. Mm-hmm. And that the really resting in that is so joyful, mm-hmm. and so amazing and open and all of those things, mm-hmm. that no wonder there's such an attachment to, but I want to be this, like the irritation or whatever it is.
Because my sense, I don't know if this is your sense, when life is going on, it's not this. It's not having to recreate itself in every moment, because there's only one moment.
Yes.
So it's like the isness.
That's what I was saying too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so really the only way to interfere with that is to break it up into time.
Yeah.
And that's what the mind is trying to do all the time. And then, I think part of what you're talking about is there's an addiction to that.
Yeah.
As one way of talking about
A mental habit.
A mental habit.
That we, going back to both conversations, that we identify with.
Yes.
As if that's me.
Mm-hmm.
But that I really enjoyed that conversation about stepping back from all of the mental processes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was projecting onto what you were saying about, in the first conversation, does it require a conversation?
Uh-huh.
That it's like back to the physics thing, left to itself. No, absolutely no conversation is necessary.
Right.
Life just moves, mm-hmm. beautifully, seamlessly.
And everything is in it.
We are life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's interesting, isn't it? Because what I just saw is the conversation is only required if we're separate from it. Because then there's something to talk about.
Uh-huh.
But if we're not separate from it, there's nothing to talk about because we are it.
Yeah.
There's not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. One of the things that's, it's one of those tools we've had forever, but it just, when it just drops in as, I don't know, just in a new way. Touching on the world of opposites thing, but it's been so accessible to see what process is happening and realizing, wow, I actually can choose the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So anything, I'll be going along and the irritation, good example, arises. And seeing that and just going, I choose patience.
Patience.
Mm-hmm. I choose love.
Mm-hmm.
I choose compassion. It's like, it's so tangibly available what ego is doing,
mm-hmm.
that brings to life what's life's alternative, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Yeah, and I keep seeing this in these conversations that we're having, that alternative, I don't know if this language makes sense, but is different in kind. It's, it's a different thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not... Like, it's not a mental process.
Right.
Like you say, I choose patience. That is a, you almost could say, like, physical experience.
Yeah.
It's an experience, not a mental construct.
Yeah. Which is a complete mystery to me, because what you're describing puts words perfectly, I think, to that we've had that practice forever. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been a mental process.
So like you're trying to be patient by thinking it?
Here's what it is from the last conversation. It's the difference between resisting what is. Mm-hmm. There's irritation. I shouldn't have irritation.
Oh, I see.
I shouldn't be irritated. Mm-hmm. I'm patient.
Yeah.
You know? It's the difference between that and there's irritation, not me. Acceptance.
Full acceptance.
I choose patience. Totally different.
Yeah, that
one is a mental process, mm-hmm. which is still within the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that acceptance, stepping outside of it. And it feels like the I choose patience is a support for not going right back to it.
Right.
It's like creates a little tiny bigger gap for the human to get to feel what that feels like,
mm-hmm.
to not be identified with the movie,
mm-hmm.
for even just a second longer.
Yeah. It's like, it seems like that full acceptance, in a way, that full acceptance and that patience are the same thing.
Yeah.
But there's also, tell me if this is what you're saying or not, but it also seems like there's like a, you can have like a flavor of acceptance to assist in
a particular situation.
Yeah, in the thing that conditioning is trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, like because it's, in a way you could say it's the opposite, but in a way you know it's not the opposite, because it's a completely different kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's enough of an opposite that it keeps in your awareness the thing that conditioning is trying. It's trying to go for the irritation.
Yeah.
So if you're keeping patience in your awareness, then it can't pull you back a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like it's coming from that same place of acceptance where none of that's being taken personally.
Yeah, yeah. And just last little piece of it, as you're touching on that there's, it's so fun because, you know, the same processes of suffering happen over and over and over again. And so to realize that same process of freedom can be applied to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, you know, oh, there's a little bit of open time. Oh, well, of course. Here marches in the process of,
duh.
How can we get the best out of the, you know, the normal? And it's like, oh, okay. I choose to rest in the perfection of the moment.
Yeah, that's
good. You know, and it just, for whatever the suffering throws at us, there is the life alternative that I think in what you're pointing at is a much bigger place and is everything. But it's kind of fun to play with the particular flavor of it.
And one thing I really like about what you're saying has come up in the other conversations too is there's not a need, with that awareness, there's not a need to go into any of the particulars of the conditioning.
Which is like death.
And
that's what we do. Oh God, okay, here comes that process. Okay, well I could make lists, or I could, maybe I should, I'll set a timer. I'll do it, you know, it's all in relationship to it.
Yeah, it's like, it's cool because it can like get bundled.
Yeah.
You know, so all of this stuff that seems so, you know, when we're not aware of how these things work, they all seem like different things.
Right.
Like I have these 10,000 issues that
right.
I have to work
exactly.
through.
So overwhelming.
It's impossible. But to recognize, no, I don't, I have one issue. Which is being in conversation with conditioning.
Exactly.
And then it all gets bundled up, and then as soon as that arises, I don't have to go in, and I don't have to know what the conversation is, or what, I don't have to know any of that stuff. It's just, oh, that's conditioning happening, I choose, you know, whatever it is.
Yep, that's my primary mystery yet goal this year. Get out of the relationship with conditioning.
Right, it's a good one. Let's see, Sequoia.
That was really helpful. Because I feel like the transformation that's been happening lately is a greater, just what we've been talking about this morning. I always hear that thing about don't take it personally, but it just wasn't sticking. There was, what do you mean? It's about me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was landing with a me.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's very clear. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
There were, you were taking that personally.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was, she was. It was just me.
That's a good distinction too. She was.
Yeah, she was.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, you know, I've been seeing in that last conversation though, it's like, so, you know, judgment arises or anger arises. I'm seeing that, you know, it's like more and more how that is nothing to do with this being that's walking around. It's just like a, you know, I don't know.
Like a radio playing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that to just know it, that, okay, so I see that happening, so that means there's something else here in the vicinity. You know? It's like tuning into that spirit of inquiry. And like, so I know there must be equanimity, or I know there must be, you know, also available. And then instead of trying to make that happen, it's just like kind of tuning the radio. You know? And
it's already there.
Yeah, it's already there. I'm just going to kind of, you know, let the frequency kind of just go out there and tune into it.
That's cool. Yeah. That's an interesting way of, don't forget where you're going, but that's an interesting way of using the world of opposites thing. Because a part, something I'm getting from what you're saying is, like if that, I think it's a judgment or anger or something, if that's going on, that's in response to something. Right? That's a reaction from conditioning to something like equanimity. And so, if recognizing that, you say, okay, well, conditioning's having a hissy fit right now. There must be some equanimity available.
Exactly. There must be something else going on here, you know. And to, so, and just, and it does take it out of the realm of timers and beepers and, you know, all that stuff that just, that the eye is constantly doing to try and, you know.
And those could be good things too, but I think there's a larger, there's a larger awareness, I think, that you're accessing.
So that's pretty exciting. And let's see what else. There was a whole lot I was going to say earlier. I don't know if it's relevant now, but especially for me, let's see. Anger's up right now, you know, and. Not that it's up at all. I mean, I'm having a really hard time, you know, but I know that it permeates a lot of, there's an identity, you know, I guess.
You're having trouble experiencing it?
Experiencing
it, there.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I know, you know. And to just be getting that it's not me, you know? It's this, it's like a cancer or a, you know, it's just this, energy that's not me. I mean, not. I don't know how to
that
say.
Seems like a good analogy.
Yeah.
Like a cancer, like an independent. Yeah. Well, it's independent and it's dependent at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's acting independently, but it's dependent upon your life force.
Exactly. That is dependent on my life force. And seeing all of those states that come up that are just so difficult for the. You know, they're very difficult if the me is just like owning them.
Yeah, if there's a me relating to those, that's just pure suffering.
Exactly. And the shift is like, oh, interesting. You know, to just.
Do you feel like you're talking about the acceptance that folks have been
talking about? Yeah. And so I hadn't seen it as acceptance, but that's it's already been said that in them there's just so much. Room for acceptance when it's
not me.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like it's happening to the neighbor, you know?
Exactly. And then you want to pull in the guidance, you want to pull in, you know, all of it to just to look at it and to move into that place that's just so much more supportive of life and in the heart. But I did have one thing arise that it's, I've been, so to deal with the anger, I have been doing some physical
expression
work, like, you know, beating on an inanimate object when, you know, so.
I've been doing that too, it's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fun. And so, but it's interesting now looking at that from, well, it's that which is rising isn't really, I think it's not really me.
What if that's a way, that's a practice to see it?
To see that which I am, that's not me, but I can get it out there. So instead of, that's helpful. Instead of it being this, you know, like I said, cancer or this, you know, this unseen force that's operating and eating my insides.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to just get it out there and see it and see what's,
Yeah, because it's not, even in expressing it, I'm going to leave this too, even in expressing it, it's not you.
Right.
Even if you're expressed, right, it's still it.
Uh-huh.
And then there's that next place of, you know, so if it's stuck in here and you're really not very aware of it, mm-hmm. then it's just stuck in there and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So there's the next step is, you know, kind of expressing it so that you can see it.
Yeah.
And then the next step after that, it seems like, is seeing it for what it is,
yeah.
and then letting go of the, like, the karmic cause of it.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting. I've had a couple of instances lately where I've found rodents in things that they're not supposed to be in.
Oh.
You know, where, doing damage, you know. And I couldn't see, you know, both times I just could not see them. I literally couldn't see them, you know. They didn't exist for me until something happened that made it so obvious that I could not see it anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, and in both instances, they were damaging something that had to do with power and heat and something that supported our comfort or life or, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, it just wasn't available to me. So I keep seeing that as kind of a metaphor of how, you know, unless, you know, those things just got to be brought out into the light.
They really do.
They really do. Or they're just, they do their damage and you just like, la-di-da, oh, everything's fine uh-huh. with me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
it's conditioned just like a little wreck, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's never where you're looking.
It's never, you know, and unless you're really in there shining the light into the mm-hmm. insides, it's just chewing away happily on your, mm-hmm. you know, good time. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Okay, Susan.
So I'm looking just right now as people are talking about how I can use both things as tools. So, and conditioning can grab everything and just sort of twist it. So a common practice principle that I love is this is it. So this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's it. All these mental processes, all of this thing that's going on, this is it. My opportunity to practice.
I see. Okay.
And I notice that conditioning that pushes me into acceptance. Wow, this is just it. This mm-hmm. is it. You know,
there is no alternative to what's happening.
There's
right
no
now.
Alternative. This is what my mind's doing. This is the process I'm in. I'm freaking out or I'm not. You know, whatever is going on, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice how conditioning can use practice language and say, it can use the truth, which is, it's not me, to maintain itself.
Mm.
So it has a judgment that what's going on is bad. So it says, well, that's not me.
That's a bad thing.
Well, it does. I just seen it right this second, but I see how what I'm seeing is that it can use, I think sometimes conditioning, when it feels bad about something I'm doing, it says, well, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, wait a minute, this is it.
Ah, I see. Okay.
This is just it. There's nothing, you know. So do you see what I'm sort of pointing
so.
At? That
I think
how
so.
Conditioning can come in and take. Now, a lot of times I could say, oh, that's not, you know, this isn't me. And it's fine, you know, and it is a disidentifying tool.
Right. We were talking about that a little while ago. So I think, see if I've got you. So is that there's that bundling thing.
Yeah, I could relate with the bundling thing.
Okay, so we might recognize, okay, all these things that are going on, this is all conditioning. So one way to go with that is, go to equanimity or patience or whatever
yes.
the thing is. So, but that's not what conditioning is. So conditioning is kind of calling on that. And
right.
so it's saying, well, that's all conditioning.
Right.
So you can go snooze.
Exactly. That's just conditioning.
Uh-huh.
No need to stay awake.
No need to pay attention to that.
No need to pay attention. That's just conditioning.
that's cool.
But I was thinking, the way that everybody was talking, and then I was reflecting, we had a facilitator phone call this morning, and I remember on the facilitator retreat, the thing that was so powerful that I got was that it's okay to bring me to the cushion.
Authentic you.
Authentic me.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are certain kinds of mental wellness that was being described, these processes. The place that I went to is, some of those are just what this form brings into it.
It's so, the form or the conditioning?
I don't think, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the experience when I sat on the cushion during the facilitator's retreat was, and when I watched other people was, wow, everybody's fabulous and we're all so different.
Yeah, I had that experience too. It's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And so there's something about the conditioning wants to do, which is to make me into a robot that looks a certain way that it deems good. And of course, it's not the way I look.
Right, it's not authentic.
It's not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take some information, some guidance, and twist it
mm-hmm.
and use it against me to go unconscious and make me wrong.
So if you're just responding from authentic you, you're going to do that in a way that only you can do it.
Correct.
Right? And that's authentic. It's an authentic expression of, I don't even know how to say it.
I wonder, though, Justin, if that's what I'm doing in every moment, and immediately the millisecond after it gets...
I bet you it is.
So there I am going along, being authentic me, and it starts giving its story.
Well, it's coming.
Look at your mental process. You know,
mm-hmm.
look at this. Look at how you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, you know, it's commenting, saying that... that's bad, and so that's not you. That's really conditioning. You know,
right.
I don't know.
It's trying to make it into something that's like flat and rigid, small.
Yeah, and do what you just pointed out or what you talked about earlier, get me into relationship with it.
Yes.
So it's but it's still doing its bundling,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, we could do the, you know, it's still doing the basic thing, which is take me out of kindness and out of the moment and make it all wrong.
So that process has to be a part of the bundle, too.
Tell me more.
That what it's doing about the bundle...
is now a part of the bundle.
It needs to be, doesn't it? Because otherwise you believe it.
Yeah, it's really believable right now.
Exactly, yeah. So it's saying, everything's bundled but me.
Everything's
conditioning but me.
Yeah.
I'm actually authentic. You know, I'm talking to you about something that's real.
Oh, it's so tricky because it's talking to me about the thing that I think that is authentic and telling me it's not authentic.
Uh-huh, right.
Which takes me away from seeing, you know...
Yeah, and we can just bundle that right up, right? Because it's a conversation.
Yeah. Well, we can bundle it when we know it's a conversation, right?
Yeah, when we know, that's true.
Yeah. We know it's a conversation, and bundle it because I'm believing the
exactly. Yeah, it's outside, squirted outside of the bundle.
Right.
It's yeah, it's so tricky because it's talking about the bundle.
Say it again.
Well, it's talking about the bundle. So it's the old, you know, how, like if, never mind. but it's talking, if someone is saying, well, watch out, there's swindlers out there. Then you're not going to think that person is a swindler.
Right.
It's one of those.
It's exactly one of those. And I notice that the thing that helps me to step back and see it is, okay, I know this is it.
Yes.
I know this is it. I know this is it. Without judgment. Because
mm-hmm.
what I can do is, I got to see it. You know? But that's from a different place. For me, what happens is it becomes that mental process of seeing
yeah.
it from here.
Or the way we're talking about...
Because there's something wrong.
Yes. Yeah. On the way we were talking about earlier, you become a somebody.
I become a somebody.
In relationship to what is being seen. Instead of just the pure attention of, here's what's arising. You know, this is it, in a way, is... you know, for that to be outside of conditioning, it has to be, this is it, and in a way, there's nothing to do.
Right.
This is it. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, my whatever anyway, the practice, this other practice principle of no time off. So I added a word, no time off from kindness,
mm-hmm.
was my, or no time off from compassion.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to help too when I'm in the midst of being talked to and believing it and being in the conversation, because typically the way I want to get out of that is to label it. Oh, here I'm in a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's that pseudo thing.
Which is a conversation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Here it's having a conversation about how I'm in a conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know it's having a conversation with me because I think it's just awareness or something. Mm-hmm. It seems like the default that I can practice is, you know, my job right now is no time off from great kindness. I actually don't know what's going on.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. It's such freedom.
Don't need to.
Who cares, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
Because that kindness, and the way we were talking about earlier, that kindness is a different sort of a thing than the mental processes that are causing the separation and the identification.
And I find for myself, when I move to kindness, then there is awareness.
Yes.
But there's no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
There's just kindness, being aware.
Nothing to do,
yeah.
Nothing to figure out, nothing to know.
It's a relief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relief to practice. And it's amazing what suffering I have to, you know, I have to get caught in that mental thing often before I remember to go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it works, isn't it? That's the practice part.
Yeah. So I like timers. They cease to work after a few weeks if they're at the same time every day, I know. But I do think they're helpful in the sense of to remind me of just, you know,
get out of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just get out of the, you know, those kinds of reminders do mm-hmm. seem to help. So, anyway.
Thank you. And that's our time. Thank you.